Welcome to the Econ Dev Show. We explore the strategies, ideas, and insights that are driving economic development forward into the future. You'll hear new insights from passionate EDs about their successes and struggles. And you'll learn from attraction and retention experts about how to apply actionable strategies inside your EDO. We'll help take your organization, your community, and your career to the next level. Here's your host, Dane Carlson.
Welcome back to the Econ Dev Show. In my Thursday newsletter this week, 28 Things Economic Developers Need to Know, I mentioned that labor productivity at large U.S. firms is rising again after 15 years of no growth. This was the number two item on my list this week, and so I thought it may be important to explain to you why I think this is so important. Since this was the number two item on my list this week, I thought maybe I should take some time and explain to you why I think this is important. So the question of whether labor productivity growth is making a comeback is a question that many are now pondering. Recent data has showed an encouraging trend. In 2023, labor productivity, which measures how much work we can get done in an hour, jumped to 2.6%, a significant leap from the 1.1% average we saw in all of the 2010s. But what does this really mean? And why should we as economic developers even care about these numbers? First off, productivity growth is crucial because it is directly linked to our quality of life. The higher our productivity growth, the higher our quality of life. When productivity grows, it means we can produce more goods and services in the same amount of time, which generally leads to higher wages and better living standards without causing inflation. So whether this uptick in productivity is just a one-time thing or a sign of sustained growth could have huge implications for everyone's future. The Federal Reserve plays a pivotal role in monitoring and influencing the economy, and they're paying very close attention to these productivity trends. Recently, the Federal Reserve published a paper wherein they referenced that in the 1990s, a decade known for significant productivity growth, recently, two economists from the Federal Reserve published a paper sharing their thoughts and reflecting on the 1990s. The 1990s, if you were just a child, were a decade known for significant productivity growth, much like what we might be hopefully entering now. Now, in the 90s, advances in technology, particularly in computers, were a huge deal. They drove productivity up and changed the way we work. When I got my first office job in the very early 90s when I was in high school, we had one computer in the office. One. And it was my job to use it. And I didn't use it all day long. I used it for some very specific tasks. Tasks that the business definitely needed and were very integral to the business. In fact, the entire business flowed around that. But I was the only person in the office who used the computer. Sometimes when nobody was around, I would play Wolfenstein 3D. I don't know if you've ever seen that, but you can take a look at that. But it wasn't a very powerful computer, I can tell you that. But it was the only one in the office. And I was the only one who used it. But today, we all have computers. Today, we all have computers in our pockets. And if recent products from Apple are any indication, soon we'll all have computers on our faces. And there's a similar sort of excitement to the excitement that we felt in the 1990s about computers around AI and its potential to boost productivity even further. But there's more to the story in the 1990s about why they were such a great decade for productivity growth. The overall economic environment played a big role in productivity as well. In the 1990s, the United States enjoyed a period of low unemployment, stable prices, and strong growth, conditions that helped it to flourish. This era, known as the Fabulous Decade, is remembered for its economic success, and that success was driven by three factors: full employment, significant investment, particularly in technology, and a stable supply side, meaning that resources and goods needed were readily available without much inflation. These factors together created a strong foundation for productivity growth, much like a three-legged stool where each leg supports the others. If we're hoping to see continued productivity growth today, and I hope we are, we'll need to focus on securing these same conditions. The first is full employment. One of the critical factors is full employment. After a recession, when people start getting back to work and unemployment drops, it's not just about filling jobs. It's about finding the right fit where workers can be the most productive. Workers coming out of a recession take whatever job they can possibly get, and then they work up the ladder. They move up as they're able to be more profitable for their employers. And when there are plenty of jobs available, people can move up more and into more productive roles. But employment isn't the whole picture. Even when people have jobs, it takes time for them to get fully up to speed and to be productive, especially when they're working in new roles or new industries. When the economy is humming along with a steady job growth and rising wages, it encourages businesses to invest in new technologies and innovations, further boosting productivity. The second leg of our stool is investment. In the late 90s, investment in tech was booming, driving a lot of the productivity gains. Companies were pouring money into new computer equipment, software, and telecommunications, spurred on by strong demand and an optimistic economic outlook. You have to imagine this time period. There was a period of time where I was the only person I knew that had the internet. Then I had a few friends that were technological early adopters, and they too had the internet. And then one day in the late 90s, it seemed like overnight, everyone had the internet. Like all at once. Everyone went from this having maybe heard of it, maybe having some basic idea of it, but not actually experiencing the internet, not actually having the World Wide Web, to this one moment where everyone had the internet at the same time. Every phone line in the country was busy because everyone was on dial-up internet in those days. Everyone was on the internet. So think about that. Think about what that would be like. Think about what the investment that businesses made into technology in those days. It was incredible. Next up, we have the stability of the supply side. We've been living through a period of inflation. And if I had to guess, I would imagine that our inflation is going to continue. Not just because companies are trying to get more money out of consumers, but because companies are now, for the first time in a long while, investing in manufacturing and production and distribution in the United States. When companies spend money on assets, like a factory, that is inflationary. That causes prices to go up. When workers are building new plants, they get paid more in wages. They have more money in their pockets. They need to, and they want to buy things. There's more money in the system. It's inflationary. The United States announced last week that they're going to give $8 billion to Intel to build more plants, more chip plants, fabs in the United States. That's inflationary. But in the 1990s, we had a stable supply side. Nothing was inflation. In the 90s, despite our strong economic growth, inflation remained in check, partly due to stable prices for essential resources and goods. This stability gave the Fed the confidence to keep interest rates relatively low, encouraging more investment and more spending. Now, I say that interest rates were relatively low. They weren't anything at all like they were in the 2000s. In the 2000s, interest rates, maybe started the century at about, 5% or something, and then proceeded to fall every year for the first, 20 years. Of this century. In the 90s, late 90s, interest rates were, 5, 6, 7, 8% sometimes. That's relatively low in the grand scheme of things when I've heard the stories that my parents' first house, they purchased at, I want to say, 23% interest, something like that, in the late 70s. So yeah, historically, 5 to 8% is low inflation. And we kept it there. The Fed kept it that way in the 90s. But maintaining a stable supply side isn't just about luck. It requires thoughtful policies and proactive approach to managing resources. Whether that's through strategic stockpiling, investments in healthcare to control costs, or fostering innovation in critical sectors like energy. I think that's something else that's different about the 90s than about the first two decades of the 2000s. It seemed like in the 90s, this is before the rise of China, before China entered the WTO, and before all of the manufacturing jobs disappeared entirely from the United States and went to China. But it seemed like companies did more strategic stockpiling. They paid more attention to their supply chains, and not in the way that you have to pay attention to your supply chain now. Now you have to manage a supply chain that's thousands of miles long and, you know, through dozens of countries. In the 90s, we still made things in the United States, and we, you know, you still secured them. You still got things from the lowest cost supplier, and balance that with the quality and all of that. But it was all local, and it was, you kept a tight finger on it. It wasn't all just profit taking. It wasn't just all sucking money out of the system. Now, the question is, can our productivity growth that we're now beginning to experience again for the first time in a very long time, can it recapture the magic of the 1990s? It is possible. It's not guaranteed. We have seen some promising signs, like the recent full employment recovery that we've experienced post-COVID and the sort of rise of artificial intelligence. But we also face challenges, from ensuring continued investment in key areas to managing inflation and keeping supply chains stable. Ultimately, the future of productivity growth is in our hands. It depends on the choices we make, from government policies to business strategies and individual career paths. It also depends whether or not we learn to live with social media. You know, and if you've been in an office in the last 20 years, you have seen the amount of time that is wasted surfing social media. You see it at home, the amount of time we spend surfing social media. Is it a bad thing? I think we can conclusively say that it has stolen a lot of years of our lives. Ultimately, whether or not it's a bad thing on whole, it's a bad thing for a lot of people, but I think on whole, it'll be a wait and see. But we can all recognize that it's stolen a lot of our lives. Productivity isn't just about having the technology. It's about how we use it to transform industries and streamline processes and innovate. And investment is, of course, another critical piece of this puzzle. For productivity to grow, businesses need to invest in the future, be it in new technologies, workforce training, or research and development. This requires not only a stable economic environment, but also confidence in the future. We've lived through a period of time in which I don't think we've had confidence in the future. To be a techno-optimist has sort of been a negative. I hope that we move beyond that. I think we are seeing this a little bit, cracks of this at least. I don't know. But policies that can encourage investment, such as tax incentives and support for research, can play a vital role in fostering this environment. But then there's workforce. We all have workforce challenges. Full employment and job quality are essential for productivity growth. When workers are employed in roles that match their skills and offer opportunities for advancement, productivity naturally increases. This is why education and training are so crucial. As the job market evolves with new technologies, workers need the skills to keep up. This doesn't just benefit individuals, it strengthens our economy as a whole. And as our workforce changes, as the baby boomers retire en masse, we're going to need more workers, more productive workers to take their place. So I think that we can all agree that workforce training and education is super important and definitely will play a role in our increasing productivity growth. The global context is also important. In the interconnected world that we live in, the U.S. economy doesn't operate in a vacuum. International trade, global supply chains, and foreign policy all influence domestic productivity. Trade policies can ensure access to essential materials and open markets for American products. These support productivity growth. We'll see how that plays out in the coming years as supply chains refactor themselves and things move around. But I think we can honestly say that that's an important part of productivity growth. But perhaps the most unpredictable piece is the macroeconomic environment. Factors like inflation, interest rates, and economic stability all impact business investment and consumer spending, which in turn affect productivity. The role of the Federal Reserve in managing these aspects cannot be understated, as its policies influence everything from borrowing costs to business confidence. But looking forward, the question isn't just whether we can achieve sustained productivity growth, but how we can ensure that this growth benefits everyone. In the 1990s, the rising tide lifted many boats, but not all. Today, we have the opportunity to aim for inclusive growth that creates opportunities across all sectors of society and regions in the country. So in conclusion, while the recent signs of productivity growth are encouraging, and seeing articles like the graph that I included in the newsletter this week of productivity growth in large firms growing for the first time in 15 years is encouraging, realizing the full potential requires a coordinated effort across all sectors of the economy. It involves making smart investments in technology and people, fostering a stable economic environment, and creating policies that support long-term growth. If we as economic developers can push for these kinds of things, if we can align these pieces effectively, we have a chance not just to replicate the success of the 1990s, but to build a new era of prosperity that is broad, inclusive, and sustainable. As we navigate this time together, it is essential to stay informed, adaptable, and proactive, ready to seize the opportunities that lie ahead and address the challenges that arise. Only then can we truly say whether productivity growth is back for good. Thank you so much for listening. I'll see you again next week.
You've been listening to the Econ Dev Show with Dane Carlson. If you're an economic developer who never stops learning, for more expert strategies, fresh insights, and new ideas to take your career, organization, and your community to the next level, visit us on the web at econdevshow.com.